I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Midlife Mavericks. I am your host, Allison Jacobson, and thanks for being here again. If you are not familiar with me, I talk about everything to do with empowering yourself in midlife, redefining who you are, kicking ass in the second chapter of your life. My guests are people who either help you do that or have done it themselves. And so if you like this podcast, please, please, please leave a review, like us, follow us, because it allows more women to find us. You can find out more about me at allison-jacobson.com, and you can get my book, Daily Inspirations for Midlife Women, A Guide to Peace, Joy, Happiness, and Abundance on amazon.com. So if you've followed anything I do, a lot of what I talk about is surviving divorce, and not just surviving, but thriving. I went through a horrific divorce, learned the hard way, had to declare bankruptcy afterwards. It was a hot mess. And so whatever I can do to help you bypass all that mess, I love to do. And so my next guest is someone that is here to help you with this. Tracy Conan has been investigating fraud for more than 25 years, but she didn't always want to be a forensic accountant. With a dream of one day being a prison warden, Tracy went to Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin to get a criminology degree. A class on financial crime investigations reminded her how much she loved Encyclopedia Brown books as a kid. So did I. She continued her criminology degree, but added accounting and economics courses so she could become a CPA. And here Tracy is finding money in cases of corporate fraud, high net worth divorce, and other financial shenanigans. Hey, Tracy.
Well, hello, Allison, and hello, fellow midlife women. I am officially midlife, I think. So I am so happy to be here because I have spent a career investigating fraud, but I'll tell you, the thing that has bothered me the most the entire time is women being taken advantage of financially in the divorce process.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it happens all too often. One of the courses I offer, and there's a waiting list for it now, but I'm going to start having it again in the beginning of the year, is Confidence Equals Cash. And really working with midlife women, even if they've never handled their finances, even if they are happily married, to understand why it's important to be financially independent, to take control of their money, and to really understand their budget so that they can be strong in the future, whatever happens, right? Like, it doesn't even have to be a divorce. It could be anything where you end up having to take financial control. So yeah, important topic.
And it's so funny because we literally just met today, but the language that you use is so much of the same wording that I use when I'm talking about money and divorce. So this is going to be a good conversation.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that really struck me when I was looking at all of your work, and first of all, tell us about your work and your practice and your books.
I get a lot going on. As you mentioned, I've been a forensic accountant for more than 25 years investigating fraud. A lot of that work is on the corporate side when executives are stealing money or something has gone wrong for companies with the money. Maybe a contract gone bad with another company and they're trying to figure out who lost money and how much. And I do the expert witness in that. So I get to go to court and testify. And I also do some work on the personal side. And that's where I do divorce work. I come in typically in higher net worth divorces or where people have much higher earnings and they have a little more complicated financial situation. And I'm sorting out the money and trying to figure out how much are we really making? Because that's really important when it comes to alimony and child support. And I'm trying to figure out where is all the money? Where have we accounted for everything? Do we know about all of the accounts? And Do we know what the money's been spent on over the last 3, 5, 7, 10 years? You know, could money have been spent on an affair partner, things like that? All really important financial topics. But about a year and a half ago, I was getting frustrated because average women who are getting divorced needed help understanding the money, figuring out if there was anything missing. And for them, in the average case, hiring a forensic accountant isn't appropriate. It's way too expensive. It's unnecessary because it's not that complicated. So I created the Divorce Money Guide as a tool to show people, women in particular, how to find money in their divorces. And then most recently, I came out with my book, Find Me the Money, which is, you know, a lower price point for someone who's not ready to invest in the Divorce Money Guide or doesn't think maybe their situation warrants that yet. They can, for 10 or 15 bucks, get a copy of the book or get it on Kindle and start learning some of the tools and techniques that we use to find out where the money's hidden. Because I'll tell you what, most of the time, the husbands aren't all that tricky about it.
You know, and I see, so where I live is fairly affluent as well. And I've had clients, female clients, who the husband owns a restaurant or owns a construction business, all those places where there's a lot of cash. Mm. And it's not necessarily accounted for. So, you know, I think I agree with you. Most women I work with in my coaching practice feel like, I know where the money is. My husband would never hide money. What are some of the red flags that this might not be the case?
You're speaking my language. Red flags of financial fraud, signs that money might be missing or something might be going wrong with the money. When we are talking about marriages, one of the most common red flags is a change in behavior, and especially if that change relates to money in some way. So general changes in behavior might be your husband is becoming more controlling, or he is withholding information from you. But then when that crosses over onto the money side, where he's controlling more about the money or not giving you financial information, maybe he's had a change in behavior in how he spends money or what he spends money on or how he's paying for things. Suddenly he's using a lot more cash than he was before. He was always using a debit or credit card. Now he's going to the ATM a bunch. How about trying to get you to sign documents without letting you read them or understand them? Filing tax returns without your consent? All of those concerning behaviors are these red flags of fraud.
And I have to tell you, honestly, my son, who's 25, has intellectual disabilities. I've already explained to him, you never sign a document until you know exactly what it says. And it's shocking to me how many women have paper just put under their nose and sign it.
Here's the difficult piece. What I find in my practice is that there's a lot of shame around things like this, that women feel ashamed. I signed the document and I didn't know what it was, or I let my husband handle all the finances and I didn't stay involved in any way. And I understand the feeling of shame, but I'm hoping to help alleviate that and say, you know what? There's millions of women who are doing exactly what you're doing. It's just so common because we trust our spouses. You wouldn't be married if you didn't trust your spouse, right?
Well, and I think, and what I talk about in my course, Confidence Equals Cash, is that the stories we learned as we were growing up and the money stories we had as children, watching our dads control the money and handle the money, and we learned that's what you do. And so when we carry these beliefs into our adulthood, it's hard to break them.
It sure is. So I'm about making, you know, small steps towards becoming informed, getting involved with the financial stuff. So when we're talking about the red flags of fraud, I think that typically women are saying, well, I might have seen some of these signs, but I don't know how worried I should be. Am I overblowing this in my mind, or am I minimizing it? Is it something to worry about? So I put together a red flag assessment. It's a quiz that takes 3 or 4 minutes. It's, you know, 10 or 12 questions about how the money is managed in your household and some of these signs that you may have been seeing. And when you get done with the quiz, you'll get a result back from me that'll tell you how concerned should you be? What is your risk of financial fraud? Do you have a very low risk, like, looks like everything's probably okay, all the way up to you have an extreme risk where you have so many risk factors, you need to take action immediately.
Okay, this is huge. And I'm going to make sure I put the link to that quiz in the show notes, because this is something every woman must do. And that's the problem, right? And so many women either, for whatever reason, bury their head in the sand. Sometimes it's because they don't want to rock the boat. They're afraid of going out on their own. They, you know, they just don't have the self-worth, or you, like you said, the shame, right? But it's so important. Knowledge is power. We've got to know what we're dealing with. So we get the red flag assessment and, you know, it's kind of up there. It's in the 60% range. What do you do?
The first thing to do is start gathering information. Because I get asked this a lot. What's the first thing I do? Should I confront him? No, don't confront anyone. Here's what I found. In marriages, if your husband is engaging in financial infidelity, financial fraud, whatever we want to call it, he's doing something shady with the money. If you confront him, there is a high likelihood that he is going to drain a bank account, take your name off of accounts so you can't access the information. Do something that is going to put you in harm's way financially even more. So I always say, okay, we've got this information. We think something's gone wrong. Let's just keep it to ourselves, first of all, and let's start gathering information. So that means the bank accounts that you have legal access to and the credit cards that you have legal access to, log in online, start downloading statements, save them somewhere safe. Get your tax returns, make copies of them, put them somewhere safe. Gather as much financial information as you can, as quietly as you can, and secure that all before you do anything else.
And what about where you have joint credit cards? So that's where I got screwed, because we had credit cards in both our names, but I was the sole one responsible. And so that really screwed me over. So you know, right from the beginning, I'm very proud of myself. My 20-year-old, who's not even in a relationship, said, "Mom, is a prenup important?" I said, "Absolutely."
So for everyone,
exactly. So what are those? You know, how do you have that healthy conversation up front, and how do you kind of set your marriage up to prevent this from happening and keep yourself safe right from the beginning?
That is a great question. And this is especially important. You know, women in our age range are entering into second marriages. You've got a lot of them have adult children, and you're thinking about potentially inheritance for them, or what if my adult children need financial help with something? Prenups can help sort all of this out as well. So having that conversation is about, it's not that I'm preparing for us to get divorced, but it's that I want us to be on the same page with how we're going to manage the finances in the marriage. And what would we do if we ever did split? Because instead of having a judge who doesn't know us make decisions about our financial future and applying whatever the law says about dividing money, we could make our own choices by having a prenup. We could decide for ourselves that if we split, your accounts are your accounts, mine are mine, and that's that. And I personally don't care if people join all of their finances, keep it all separate, do something in between, as long as we've had the conversation and we agree on what we're doing. Gosh, it's so much easier before we get married to understand you've got an annoyingly expensive hobby and it costs you $600 a month. I want to know that going into this. Okay, that's what I'm in for, right?
Exactly. And I just find for women, it's easier to talk about sex than money. Like, we just don't talk about money. And that, I think, goes back to the way we were brought up and the shame and the limiting beliefs that we even understand money.
And it's not polite to talk about money.
Right. Exactly. So tell me, you know, as like you said, we're in midlife, how do we start preparing for our future, knowing that we may outlive our husband, or there may be some chronic illness where we have to bring in help or something? How do we set ourselves up for success?
Ooh, that's a really good question, because I focus so much on divorce. So I'm always thinking about, what if you're all of a sudden having to make a go of your retirement years on half of what you planned, or maybe even less, because, you know, We often think about in divorce that the starting point for dividing things is 50-50. I'll get half of the retirement account. The truth is that women actually very often get less than half. Even when, and the crazy thing is, when you look at the stats about who's earning more money, it's typically very often the man was earning more money. So not only does he get to continue earning more money, he also gets a larger share of that retirement account. And now the woman is in this lesser position and is having to try to scramble to save for retirement. I think our first step is being aware of these issues and thinking through what this impact would be on me. But one of the most important things that I can tell women is to try to have money for yourself in an account in your name only. Now, I'm not talking about a secret account unless you have an abuse situation. And I recognize there are, you know, emotional, physical abuse situations, and those are kind of a different thing that I'm not really qualified to talk about. So if you're in one of those situations, know that my advice right now isn't necessarily going to apply to you. For someone who isn't in an abusive situation, is not in an abusive situation, you need an account of your own that your husband knows exists, knows that you're putting money into. And that is, I like to call it safety money.
Yeah.
That if something comes up, you don't have to ask anyone else if you can pay for it, whatever that may be.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more, because you need that independence. You need that control, because that's what this comes down to, right? Is that lack of control, that betrayal of finding out your partner hasn't been honest with you right from the beginning. So what are, I'm hoping a rare case, but maybe it's not. You find out that not only is there infidelity financially, but there's actually illegality.
Ooh, like cheating on taxes, you mean? Or I mean, some people, you know, money laundering is a real thing. It's not just for the weirdos. I mean, there it happens.
Yeah.
What I always tell people is your number one goal, if you're getting divorced, is protect yourself financially. So you know that your husband has been committing tax fraud. That's the most common one that I see. You are not running to the IRS and tattling on him, because your name is on those tax returns too. I don't want you getting in trouble, first of all. Second of all, think of it this way. If there is money owed to the IRS, they are going to be in line before you as his spouse. So I want you, first and foremost, to get your money in this divorce. Get your money, get out of this marriage, close down the divorce, be all set with that before you even think about reporting anything to the IRS. And even then, I think it's always a dangerous game to play, because again, your name is on those tax returns too. And you can tell the IRS, I didn't know anything about this fraud, but they may or may not believe you.
That's a really good point. So take care of yourself first.
Right. And then the second piece of this, if there is tax fraud, is to start filing your own tax return, filing separately as soon as possible. So while you're still married, you have to file a tax return as married, but you have a choice. It's married filing jointly along with your spouse, or married filing separately. Almost everyone files jointly, because the way the numbers work out, you will pay less in taxes most of the time if you file jointly. There, if you decide to file separate, there's kind of some funky stuff with the tax code where it hurts you financially. However, if you know that your spouse, your soon-to-be ex-husband, is committing tax fraud, the way you protect yourself going forward is by filing that separate tax return, because you can't be held responsible for anything he's filing. Now, the complication there is he's probably going to be really mad at you for wanting to file separately, because it's going to cost him more. And he's probably going to try to extort you into filing with him and things like that. But hopefully, in working with your attorney, your tax preparer, you can craft a strategy for staying strong and filing your own tax return.
Yep. And you need to have that power behind you and that support. So I don't want you to give it all away. But
I'll give it all away. That's my theory. Give it all away for free. I can always make more.
Well, it's true. Give us two of the questions from the red flag assessment.
That's easy. I mean, so I ask questions about who is earning the money in the house, who is managing the finances on a daily basis. So those are a part of the introductory questions. And then I have a whole list. Have you noticed any of these things happening in your marriage? So for example, did you ever come across an account that you didn't know about before? Do you suspect your husband of having an affair? Did he ever ask you to sign papers without letting you read them first? So some of the things that we've already talked about. And so I just ask people to kind of check off those red flags. And behind the quiz, behind the scenes, I sort of have those red flags ranked by how serious they are. Like affairs is a really, really big red flag for financial fraud because affairs are expensive and they have to be paid for with money that the wife's not going to miss. And so they usually are tied to a secret credit card or things like that. So that's a really huge red flag that kind of bumps you up on that severity scale for the end result of the quiz.
And is there a way for a woman to find out if there's a secret bank account that she doesn't know about? Like, is there any Google way of finding out about hidden accounts?
I love that question because there, if you Google this, you will be led to believe that there is some magic database somewhere with all the bank accounts. You'll be led to believe you can hire a private investigator who's going to find your husband's secret accounts. It's crap. There is no big database. And if a private investigator says, I have ways to find secret accounts, it means they're doing something illegal and you don't want anything to do with that. The way that we find these secret accounts is by looking for clues. And I will tell you, in most of the ordinary cases, in most marriages out there, the way we find that secret bank account is because he has transferred money from your joint checking account to this account that's in his name only. And the reason why he didn't cover it up, the reason why he transferred money directly from your known account to the secret account is because you weren't looking at the statements and he knew you weren't looking. So he didn't have to cover it up.
Yep.
So we find accounts that way. We find a payment to the secret credit card that comes right out of your joint checking account. And so when I talk about the divorce money guide, you don't have to be good with numbers to do this. It's really, really true. If I tell you what to look for in the bank statements, you can find it.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to my Confidence Equals Cash course. The first thing you need to do is start looking at your accounts. You're absolutely right. People just pretend there's no problems. They just keep spending money. And also just how many times have you gotten hit with a subscription you've forgotten about and there's a $40 charge or $20 charge you don't even remember or know because you're not looking.
Right. Or so we've always banked at Chase and you're looking at your checking account at Chase and you suddenly see there's a transfer to a Wells Fargo bank account. We've never banked at Wells Fargo. What is this for? It's as simple as that. You don't need any special skills to do 90% of what I do.
I love that. But you are still incredibly important to this because just everything you've said is kind of like that aha. And like you said at the beginning, this goes exactly in line with what I talk to my clients about. So give us the name of the book again. Show us.
The book is called Find Me the Money. Yes, the subtitle, Take Control, Uncover the Truth, and Win the Money You Deserve in Your Divorce.
I love it.
And the book is for women, by the way.
I love it.
The book is for women. It's the story of Jackie, who is going through her divorce from Derek. Jackie was a stay-at-home mom for the last 10 years. Derek handled all the money for the family, and he's been having an affair, and they're getting divorced. And she says, oh my goodness, what has he done with our money? I have no idea. She felt ashamed. She felt betrayed. She felt very isolated. And so we walk through Jackie's process of going through her divorce and how she found an attorney and how she used my tips and tools and techniques and all those kinds of things to figure out where all of their money was and be able to stand up for herself and get a fair settlement in that divorce. Because what I see so often is women leaving money on the table. If you don't know, you know, you just have to know what's out there so you know what you can negotiate for.
Oh my gosh, this has been so great. People can find more about you at fraudcoach.com/midlife. Thank you so much. What is one last thing you want every midlife woman to know?
I want every midlife woman to know that you can be empowered to not only understand your finances, but create a new life for yourself after divorce. You know, this is not the thing that you planned for yourself. None of us go into marriage thinking that we're going to get divorced. And, you know, the other side can be very joyful for you. And so, you know, just work through it. You know, I've seen this. I've been through hundreds of divorces with people. I know how hard it is, and I'm not minimizing that. I know it can be soul crushing at times, but it does get better. And I just want to be part of the solution and help empower you to really take some control and come out on the other side much, much better.
That's awesome. Tracy, thank you so much, everybody. I will see you next time at Midlife Mavericks. Bye now.